Christian Crusaders warmly welcomes each of our listeners today during our September anniversary month. We are celebrating 64 years of continuous radio broadcast. Our service will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
The unity of the church transcends denominational loyalty. Do you agree? That's the theme for our sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have established your church on this earth, and you have given a promise that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You have promised that when you return, the church of Christ will be there. Today, O God, we pray that it may be found also in our presence. Make us loyal, O Lord, to the teachings that you have given to the church, that we may bring them to the nations, and that people in Jesus Christ may be redeemed and brought into the fellowship with God, both now and forevermore. For it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, beginning with verse 10. I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another, so that there may be no divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul, another, I follow Apollos, another, I follow Cephas, and still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Morning cry, I'll be there when you are old. I rejoice the day you were baptized to see your life unfold. I was there when you were but a child with a faith to suit you well. someone to share your time, and you join your hearts as one. I'll be there to make your verses rhyme from dusk till rising sun.
Friends in Christ, a unifying spirit is necessary if a family is going to function well. Now, this does not mean that there be no diversity within the family. There is plenty of room for rugged individualism and yet be united in a common spirit. That's true in the human family, and it is also true as far as the family of God is concerned. It is interesting to notice as you page through the New Testament how often there is reference made that the church should be united. For example, Jesus prayed, "I pray that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." The Apostle Paul carries on that same theme. He writes to the Roman church, "Live in harmony with one another. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And Paul keeps on with this theme of oneness in Christ. In his letter to the Ephesians, he says, "There is one body, and there is one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all, and through all, and in all." George Farrell, professor of religion at the University of Iowa for many years and now emeritus, has written in his book, The Protestant Faith, "Christ is the source of the church's unity, which is not dependent upon a unified organization." Let me say that again. Christ is the source of the church's unity, which is not dependent upon a unified organization. There seems to be no evidence that the Christian church was ever organizationally one. Such unity was apparently of no concern to the early Christians. No superorganization controlled the various Christian groups in the earliest century of church history. The oneness of the church transcends the disunity of the churches. End of quote. I think that is very important for us today to hear, first from the scriptures, of course, and then from a noted theologian, speaking on the basis of what Scripture has to say, that the oneness of the church is in Jesus Christ. And when we see one denomination after another piled into a little town, it does not mean that the church is divided. There is a oneness when you bring the believers out of each one of those churches, and they are found in Christ Jesus. Now, that does not mean that there is not diversity in the church. To say the church is one does not mean that we will agree on every last thing. That is certainly true in the early church. For example, there were strong personalities, and they were going to go their own way if it had to be. If you turn to the 15th chapter of the book of Acts, you see that Paul and Barnabas have a strong difference of opinion regarding John Mark. They've been out on a missionary tour, and John Mark left Paul and Barnabas right in the middle of that tour. It irritated them, but it irritated Paul so much that when they were going on another missionary tour, Paul said to Barnabas, "We're not going to take Mark with us." And Barnabas says, "Oh, yes, we are." Now, there is a real confrontation. You know how it was settled, don't you? Well, finally, Barnabas says, "Well, I'm going, and I'm going to take John Mark." And Paul says, "Well, if that's what you're going to do, I'm going another way." And he selected a person by the name of Silas. And they both went their own ways. As they went in different ways to tell the story of Jesus, they were still united. They had a message, and the message was that Jesus Christ has come into this world to die for the sins of humanity. And if you will but trust him, confess your sins, you have the forgiveness and you are restored into a personal relationship with God. So they went their own ways. There was diversity, and yet there was unity. If you turn then to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, you have Paul writing the last letter that we know of just before he is finally martyred. He writes to the young man Timothy, "Come, please." The only one here with me right now is Luke. In other words, Paul knew that death drew near and he needed the church, at least a few of the church, around him. "So, Timothy, come. You mean so much to me." But in the middle of it all, in that fourth chapter of verse 11 in 2 Timothy, here are these words: "When you come, get Mark and bring him with you." How long had they been separated? I don't know. But this I know, that when the time came for Paul to leave this world, he wanted some of his fellows in Christ with him. And one of them he wanted was Mark. That's the unity as far as the church is concerned. Strong personalities can do things differently, but we are still united in Jesus Christ. Now, from this portion of God's holy word, there come some very, very practical implications, some insights that I believe that we need to take a look at today and see if we are on track when it comes to the church of today versus the church of the New Testament. Here is one of these implications. The unity of the church transcends denominational loyalty. Now, friends, let me ask you, do you really believe that? If you've been a Baptist or a Methodist or a Presbyterian or a Lutheran all of your life, and you really love that church, are you willing to say that the unity of the church transcends denominational loyalty? I have come so far in my faith, led by the Holy Spirit, that I am. I am a Lutheran. I love the teachings of my church. It was that church that delivered to me the message of Christ when I was just a child. I imagine that in one sense of the word, I will die a Lutheran Christian. But let me tell you this, if the time should come when my church, the church in which I was born, and the church that I have been a part of all of my life, when that church does not preach Jesus Christ Sunday after Sunday without exception, then it is time for me to go to another church. A few years ago, my wife and I were spending a few weeks in Florida. On Sunday morning, we got up, and because we happened to be Lutherans, we sought out a Lutheran church. I listened. I listened carefully. I visited with the pastor after the service, and it was very evident that he and I were not on the same track at all. Now, it is not for me then to go in as a stranger and try to upset anything. But do you know where I spent the rest of our vacation on Sunday mornings? It was in a Methodist church, where I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ in a dynamic way. Now you get to another city, and it might be the Lutheran church, or it might be the Baptist church, or it might be the Presbyterian church. What I'm saying to you is that no matter where we worship on a Sunday morning, if it's in the Christian family, there, we are united. We are brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. We have come to be fed with the Word of God. And it is my conviction, though I know that some would not agree with me on this, that I need to be fed in the best way possible. And therefore, I seek out that place where I hear so clearly the message that Jesus Christ has suffered and died on the cross for my sins and has paid the price for it all. I wonder, my friends, if here we may not be drawn closer to what the early church was. I wonder if we're not after the real message. Someone has said, I don't know if I'm quite ready to go that far, that denominationalism for the generations that are coming up is dead. I don't believe that. I think that there will always be some of these great denominations. They have so much to offer. I'm not a foe of denominationalism at all. I think we all have a great contribution to make to the unity of the church. But we also have to realize that the oneness of the church gives us the liberty to go and serve and also to hear and be fed, as best we can, the Word of God. I've already quoted from Professor George Farrell, who has always been one of my favorite theologians of our denomination. Now, this is what this Lutheran theologian has to say. Protestants are generally suspicious of those who insist that organizational unity is a condition of the oneness of the church. The church is one because of Christ. To make the oneness depend upon the consent of ecclesiastical dignitaries and the efficiency of ecclesiastical machinery would contradict the Protestant assertion that man is justified by grace. For this reason, all movements towards organizational unity are for Protestants to be justified only on pragmatic grounds. That's very important. It is extremely important to know that mergers may be very worthwhile. The denomination to which I belong has had several mergers. Was it the best or was it not the best? This is a debatable question within our church today. There are denominations that are getting together, have gotten together. The Great Methodist Church has united with the United Brethren. Prior to that, the United Brethren had joined with the Evangelicals. They are mergers, and they probably have good pragmatic grounds, and I would never attack that at all. But the unity of those three denominations was not dependent upon a merger that took place in a convention, but rather the unity of that group of people is found in Jesus Christ way back when they were Evangelicals, United Brethren, and Methodists. Just as long as we have that straight. Then, if we want to, after 10 o'clock at night, consider some of these merges, fine. But let's not let it take too much time. And let's not let it take too much money so that we get away from bringing the message of Jesus Christ to our world, that they may know Christ and sense a oneness in Him. Here is another implication. Crossing denominational lines does not affect the kingdom of God at all. We do not live in our little ghettos anymore. There is intermarrying going on all of the time. As we move from one community to another, we might have to take a look at all of the churches in the community. Let us say that a person in one denomination crosses the line and becomes a member of the other denomination. And what has taken place? Let us be more specific. Let's say that a Methodist becomes a Lutheran, and a Lutheran becomes a Baptist for one reason or another. Has anything happened in the church? As far as salvation of souls is concerned, I don't think so. It's only kind of housekeeping. People have married one of one denomination, one of the other. They need to be united in a church. And that's where a lot of these mergers of families into different churches take place. If at the end of the year, my congregation has taken in 200 new members, but 150 of them were members of the Christian church elsewhere, has anything really happened as far as that 150 are concerned? No. The 50, yes. They are new converts to Christianity. We thank God. We thank God for the 150 because we need to be present in the body of Christ as families. But we have to remember that it is only when one has really confessed his sins, placed his faith in Christ, and has been baptized that you have real awakening, real additions to the church. Fourthly, while there's great progress being made as far as the oneness of the church is concerned, I believe, we have to remember that if this progress is not seen in our communities, that our denominational differences do not create bitterness and strife. We cannot afford, and that's what our Lord Jesus, I'm sure, was talking about. We cannot afford that those who do not believe in Jesus Christ would say, well, look at them. They can't even be united with their own groups. Let us be one in Christ, regardless of what Christian church we worship in. How does today's church compare to the New Testament church regarding oneness in Christ? Perhaps the differences are not as great as in other areas of the church. But the same warning of letting our differences destroy our unity in Christ needs to be heard. Let us never forget that our unity comes in Christ, through whom we come to our Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring us into the kingdom of heaven, and there we will become a part of that church triumphant to sing and praise our glories and thanksgiving to God for all eternity. And that is when we will see in full fullness the oneness of the church in Christ. Amen.
Blessed be
to the Lord.
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for all that you have done in bringing Christ Jesus into this world to establish his church. We thank you for the brothers and sisters that we have in Christ, with whom we worship and with whom we work in bringing the message of that Savior to the far parts of the world. In his name we pray, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. September is anniversary month for this program. Our first broadcast was aired September 6, 1936 on WMT Radio, live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Waterloo, Iowa. Only three pastors have served this radio ministry. Founder, Reverend G.E. Melkert, the Reverend Bruno Schlachtenhafen, and our present speaker, the Reverend Homer Larson. Some of our listeners remember all three. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry dependent on gifts from you, our listeners. In September, many of you give an anniversary gift of $64, $1 for each year of our ministry. We thank you for your generosity. We thank each of you for your gifts of any size and your prayers for our program. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will help cover the mailing and production costs. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 38 years.